the Lord and say, praise Him. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's lovely to see everybody here, and it's back to school service today. And so we're sending our children back to school. It's going to be a great day. Stay standing a little bit longer. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 9. John chapter 6 and verse 9, we're going to read down to verse 13. Glad today we've got two baptisms at the end of the service today as well. We rejoice in that. Please stay back and be here for the baptisms. We'll have it on the big screen as well. And we look forward to that. There's nothing like being baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 6 and verse 9 to verse 13, and we welcome everybody that is joining us via way of the web. We're just thankful that we're able to reach outside the walls of this building and to be able to reach into the rural and areas of Australia, into the country areas. People can hear the gospel. John chapter 6, verses 9 through to 13. Everybody got it in their Bibles? Say amen if you've got it in your Bible. All right. There is a lad here. Everyone say a lad. A lad is a young boy. It's not a term we use very often. The older generations used to call young boys, they'd call them lads. I'll tell you something funny. Once upon a time, there was a little boy and he was wondering which toilet to go into. And his dad said, well, I'm a gentleman and you're a laddie. So you're a lad, you go in the laddies, and tricked his little son. But a lad is a young boy. There is a lad here who hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? You see, there's 5,000 men plus women and children. This boy only has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. It wasn't enough by their eyes. And Jesus said, well, tell everyone to sit down. Now there was much grass in that place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves from the lad. He took the loaves from the lad and he gave, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise, he did the same with the fishes, as much as they could. There was a miracle unfolding. In fact, there was a miracle happening right before their eyes and happening right in their hands. It was multiplied. And when they were filled, when they had had enough food, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, go gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Don't waste anything. Go and get up all the scraps. You see, there was so much food that everybody was fed and there was still food left over. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. This is a wonderful miracle that we read in the Bible. We read about it often. But it all started with a lad. Everybody say a lad. It all started with a lad. And so today on this back to school Sunday, I want to talk to families. I want to talk to parents. I want to talk to children. I want to talk to the whole church today. And the title of our message today is called Parental Guidance Required. Parental Guidance Required or Recommended. Parental guidance recommended. We thank you, Lord God, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for all the children that are in this place today. And Lord God, as we break the bread of life, your word, Lord God, we ask you to speak to us through your word. Lord God, help our ears to hear what you're going to say to us as parents, as children, as grandparents. Lord God, to every single one of us, you're going to speak a word. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we give you all the praise. And all the church says amen. Amen. You may be seated. Parental guidance recommended. I probably should say required, but parental guidance recommended. Today is our back to school service. An important day. One of the most important days, I believe, as pastor that we have in this church. And I know many parents consider today a very, very important day. In fact, a very, very comforting day as we pray for our children. I'd like to let you know that as part of our outreach, just this last week, we have been able to help 40 families across the local schools in Canberra. We've been able to help 40 different families to be able to provide all of the back-to-school supplies for their children. And so that's you, brothers and sisters. That's our church. We've been able to help 40 families across the schools here in Woden and down in Tuggeranong. We've been able to help 40 families with all the back-to-school stuff. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. That's more than $3,000 we've been able to help in our local schools. There was a dad and he came home. And as all good children were, they were doing their homework, the children were. And when dad came home, he was astonished. Because after school, it's homework time. Everyone say homework. They had their afternoon tea and then it's homework time. And dad was astonished because Billy was sitting on a horse. He was sitting on the horse and writing something down. And Dad walked into the house. He said, "What on earth are you doing? What are you doing on that horse?" he asked. He said, "Well, the teacher told us to write an essay on our favorite animal." And so Billy said, "The teacher told us we had to write an essay on our favorite animal." And he said, "Daddy, that's why I'm here on the horse, and that's why Ethel is sitting in the goldfish bowl." Anyway, I thought I better do my best with a dad joke. But today is about families. No nation has ever prospered where the family has not been held sacred. No nation has ever prospered where the family life or the family has not been held sacred. And I'll go a little bit further and say, no church has ever prospered where the family unit is not held sacred and important. And let me tell you as parents, you will never prosper as a parent unless you see the importance of family, unless you hold the family as sacred and important and as a priority. And somebody say amen. And see, the reality is, and I'm a parent of three boys, and that's why I don't have much hair left, but as parents, it's very, very easy, and I know I'm talking to somebody today, in fact, maybe to all parents, it's very, very easy to fall into maintenance mode and to fall into survival mode. Everyone say survival. What I mean by that is just trying to get through another day. Do any parents know what I'm talking about? Just trying to make it through another day. Just trying to keep everyone alive, just another day. We fall, we maintain. We're not progressing, we're just maintaining. We're just surviving. We become reactive instead of being proactive. And I'm not saying that if that's your situation, I'm not saying that that's anything uncommon. I'm not saying that that is bad necessarily. But if we're always in maintenance mode, if we're always in survival mode, then we've got no way of being able to push forward. Amen? And so Christian instruction, and this is why many families suffer when it comes to teaching our children the Word of God. Teaching our children the ways of God, teaching our children the importance of serving God, is because Christian instruction, teaching our children about God, is rarely going to be convenient. It's rarely going to be reactive. It's always going to be something that you have to set your mind to and be proactive and deliberate about. If our children are going to know about the Word of God, if our children are going to know about serving God, if they're going to be raised in the ways of God, then we have to make a deliberate decision. Parental guidance is recommended. It's not just about survival mode. It's not just about maintenance mode. But if we're going to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, if we're going to raise them in the ways of God, we must be proactive. And somebody say proactive. And so in Matthew 28 verse 19, we read the scripture, the Great Commission. Go and teach all nations, baptizing. We read that there. Go and teach the nations. And yes, the church is to be busy about reaching the nations. However, let me tell you today, everybody that's here, the church must be busy about taking the gospel to the whole earth. But very often we forget, or maybe we even ignore, the mission field that sits right in front of us. The mission field that we put to bed at night. The mission field that we feed Weet-Bix in the morning. The mission field that we pick up from school in the afternoon. Very often we forget that they also need to be taught, that our children also need to be discipled. But they are the mission field which is before our eyes every day. They aren't a group that's overseas. No, you don't need a passport to go to this mission field. No, you don't need a visa to go to this mission field. This mission field is called our family. Everybody say my family. And these children born in your house, once they grow past the age of innocence, these children are not saved because they live in a Christian house. I'm sorry to say, they won't be saved just because they live in a Christian house. They will not be saved because they had godly parents. They will only be saved because they were raised in the ways of God and they made a decision based on what was planted in their hearts to serve God. And so these children are not saved because of anything we can do, parents. We can teach them the right way, but we've got to put something inside of them so they can make the decision themselves. Write this down if you're taking notes. God has no grandchildren, only children. God has no grandchildren, only children. And so where can we begin our evangelism efforts? Where can we begin our ministry efforts? Where can we begin our discipleship efforts? Parents, let me tell you, the first place you begin is amongst your children. We must teach them the way. You see, after God, family comes next. Family comes next after God and raising our children in the ways of God. I'm not just saying family and staying home and watching a movie with your family. No, I'm not talking about that. After God, when it comes to Christian and living the Christian life, our family comes next. Before there was a church, let me tell you, there was a family. Before there was a Bible, there was a family. Before there were 10 commandments, there was a family. And my job today as a pastor is to tell you today that we need to give some parental guidance. Parental guidance is required. Parental guidance is recommended. We cannot make it. We cannot raise our children as Christians unless we realize that it is a must in our life. And if we want things to grow in our hearts, you want something to grow in your heart, if you want something to grow in the hearts of your children, if you want something to grow in the hearts of your grandchildren, if you want something to grow in their lives, let me tell you, if you want something to grow, it's got to be planted. No one ever, no child ever grew up to 30 or 40 years old and the parents said, wow, isn't he doing great? He's a wonderful Christian, a wonderful man of God. We don't know. It just happened automatically. No, let me tell you, it only happens when things are planted. If you want something to grow, if you want something to be in a child's heart, it must be planted. Everyone say planted. And if we want the right things, if we want the right things to grow in our children's heart, they must be planted there. And we get proud. We're proud of our kids when they do the right thing, when everyone else is doing the wrong thing, don't we? We're proud when we see our children willing to stand up and go against the grain. We are proud when we see our children not just following the crowds, but they are happy to be different. We are so proud. But let me tell you, that doesn't happen unless something has been planted in their life. I've got three boys. I would love to be able to look at them and say they're just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I would love it if everybody was bowing down to this golden calf and everybody was worshiping this evil image. I'd be so proud to see my boys standing there like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody be proud if you saw your children doing that? You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew in their heads. Everyone say their heads. They knew, they had been taught, it was in their heads that it was wrong for them to bow down to that golden idol. They knew in their heads. But I don't believe that what was in their head was the thing that kept them standing. I don't believe that it was the thing that was in their head that kept those boys standing. I believe what kept those boys standing was not what was in their head, but what was in their hearts. You see, if it's in your head, you can rationalize it away. But if it's in your heart, it's going to be there strong. It's going to help you to stand. It wasn't what's just in their head that kept them standing. It was what was planted in their heart. I believe what was planted in their heart gave them the strength, gave them the moral fortitude, gave them an attitude that says, you know what? Everybody may be bowing, but I just can't do that. And so we want our children to do the right things. We want them to do the right thing when it's difficult. We want them to do the right thing when everyone's doing the wrong thing. But it will only happen if something is planted in their hearts. And we'd love our children to grow up and be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but that doesn't happen by accident. We may say to ourselves, and rightly so, we may say, how on earth did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how did their parents achieve such a thing? How did their parents raise three boys that in a whole city, when everybody was bowing, how did they raise those three boys to not bow like everyone else? How is that possible? How did it happen? Let me tell you how it happened. The Bible tells us how it happened because they were taught in a certain way. They were taught in a certain way. Throw that next scripture up there in Deuteronomy. It tells us how these boys were taught. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, this is how they were taught. Talking to the parents, first of all, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Everyone say heart. It doesn't say head, it says heart. Parents, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. It's not just an external thing, but it's an internal thing. To love our God with our heart and with all our soul and with all our might. Parents, and these words which I command thee, it says it again, shall be in thine heart. Parents, it's got to be in your heart. Then it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Take every opportunity to teach your children about the things of God. There's never going to be a perfect time. You're not going to be able to call a lecture in the lounge room. No, you're not going to be able to call them and have them sit down. Children just aren't like that. They can't concentrate like that. But you need to find time whenever you can, whenever you've got their attention, driving in the car, sitting in the lounge room, laying beside them in bed. Take the time to talk about and to teach our children the things of God. And it says this, and it says, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between their eyes, and you shall write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And I thank God there's a family here. I went over to dedicate their house, and yes, they had done just as the scripture says. They had written scriptures all over the posts of their house. They said to the builder, before you put any plaster up, we're coming in. We want to write a few things on the posts of the house. Just like the Bible says. Hanging it in your house. And so, we've got to teach our children. Everyone say children. Children can learn very, very quickly. The old saying is, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That's true. Children have an ability to learn things so fast. And so, we need to teach them when they are young. Don't wait until they get older, until they are intellectual. No, teach them when they are young. You see, there is a space, there is an impressionable time. There is this time when we can teach our children the commands of God. And the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so we got a lot of teachers in this church. We've also got a lot of nurses, but we got a lot of teachers. And they learn about educational psychology, and they learn about all these things about pedagogy and how to teach and all that. And all of that's very, very interesting. And I don't claim to know anything about any of it. But I could just say this, all of that stuff about teaching can all be summed up just with these few words. And maybe I should be the lecturer. We could have a 5-minute class and dismiss everyone. Here it is. What we put in our kids when they are young is what they become when they are older. Pretty simple. And that's why teachers go to education school, learn about education. That's why I do a 4-year degree. But basically, this is what they're trying to achieve. This is why they're doing all of that study, all of those assignments, because the reality is this. What we put in our kids when they are young is what they become when they are older. We want to teach them how to learn. We want to teach them ABC. We want to teach them how to reason and how to problem solve. And so when it comes to children, there's these two types of development. There's cognitive development, and then there's moral development. Moral. Everyone say moral. Cognitive development is the ability to reason, to problem solve, and to think. Our cognitive development reaches its peak when we're about 35 years old. You're as sharp as you can be cognitively. However, moral development, everyone say morals. I don't care how smart someone is cognitively if they haven't got morals. True? Anyone ever met somebody that's really smart but got no morals? We don't like those sort of people, and we don't want to raise kids like that either. But moral development, it begins when children are about 2 years old. They begin to learn what is morally right and what is wrong at 2 years old. And that window opens up as they get older. And when they reach about 10 years old, that moral teaching window is as wide open as it can be at 10. Everybody say 10. And psychologists tell us that window then continues to close until they are about 18. And that little window between 2 and 18, that is where morals and values are set in the hearts of children. That is that window. And so what does that tell us? It tells me that I don't have a lot of time to teach our children what is right and what is wrong and to help them develop morally. There's only a window of time, but it opens at 2. It is fully open at 10, and it's pretty much closed at 18. Are you saying, Pastor, that we can't learn morals after we're 18? No, you can learn them, but you learn them in your head. But between 2 and 18, you can get the morals in your heart. And so, yes, as you get older, you can learn what is right and wrong, and you can have it in your head. But the problem with having it in your head is that you can easily just reason it away. But if it's in your heart, you'll stand by it. And so we need to take it seriously. We need to take our children seriously. Amen. We need to teach them. We need to make sure they know what the Word of God says. We need to make sure they know what is right and wrong. And if they're going to be able to stand like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we've got to make sure that we're not just planting things in their head, but we are planting the things of God in their heart. And so I wonder, how is it that very often we don't take our kids more seriously? I know why we don't. Because sometimes kids are just silly. Everybody say amen if you've got silly kids that do silly things. Yeah, they're silly. They do silly things. Sometimes kids can be chaotic. Like our house the last couple of days when we've just been inside because of the fires. My goodness. 3 boys. They're like wild horses just waiting to run. We don't have air conditioning. It's hot. They're getting on each other's nerves. Just when you get them calm, one will poke another and then, parents' blood pressure's going up. Crazy. Yes, our kids can be disobedient. But don't let it ever be said that they're just kids. Because let me tell you, as chaotic, as crazy, as silly, as chaotic, and all as disobedient they may be, they are listening and learning now. Everybody say now. They are listening and learning now. And that's why Sunday school is so important. That's why coming to church is important. That's why being an example as a parent is important. That's why we need to have our children serve God alongside of us. That's why we take them to church. That's why we bring them. That's why they need to see us worshiping God. They need to see us putting God first, because they are as crazy, as chaotic, as silly, as disobedient. And we might think that they're not learning anything, but they are learning right now. Now, here's a scripture that I really like from 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 7. If you can turn there in your Bibles, that would be great. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 7, it's a scripture that startled me and really began to speak to me. It's not a scripture you would often read on a back-to-school Sunday, but it's going to prove the point that I'm talking about today. It says this. We can read it together. It's on the screen. You can follow along. It says, it was in the heart of David. Everyone say the heart of David. It was not in his mind, but it was in his heart. It was in the heart of David, my father, to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. It was in his daddy's heart, okay, to build a house for the Lord. But the Lord said to David, my father, although it was in his heart, the Lord said, for as much as it is in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Dads, it's got to be in your heart. And the Lord says, David, you did well that it was in your heart. Notwithstanding thou, you will not build the house though, David, but thy son, which shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house for my name. The Lord therefore has performed his word that he has spoken. For I am risen up in the room of David my father, and am set on the throne of Israel, as the Lord has promised, and I have built the house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And so who was David's son? Solomon. It was in the heart of David to build a house for the God of Israel. The Bible said that Solomon, this is the bottom line here, that Solomon did what was in his father's heart. Woo. Solomon simply followed what was in his father's heart. It wasn't just what was in his daddy's head. It wasn't what his daddy's best intentions were, but it was in his daddy's heart. You see, in David's heart, there was a temple. Because there was a temple in his daddy's heart, there was a temple in the son's heart. And let me just put the bottom line right here, dads. If you want your children to serve God, they're going to see what's in your heart. And if you want them to follow in your ways, if you want them to serve God, if you want them to faithfully serve God, dads, it's got to be in your heart. And not just dads, but mothers also, it's got to be in your heart, because our children will see what is valuable to us, and the things that are valuable to us will become valuable to them. Let me tell you, they are learning now. And so coming to church, parents, I know I'm talking about a lot of things today, but coming to church is more than just monkey see, monkey do. They're not just going to do what you do because they see you doing it. They see you raising their hands. Yeah, they may just copy you a little bit, but when they get older, they won't do it. Because our children know what's really in our heart. They know what we value. They know what we love. And parents, if you want your children to follow in your ways, you've got to make sure that it is in your heart and that it is real to you. We don't just go, oh, hang on, the kids are looking. Praise the Lord. No. Our kids can spot a fake a mile off. It's got to be in your heart. It's got to be in your heart. They know. We don't just wait till they're looking and say, I better get this one right, you know. It's got to be in your heart. If you want the will of God for the younger people, your children, it's got to be in your heart. And how do things get in our children's heart? First of all, they've got to see that it's in our heart. And then we've got to make sure we plant it in their heart. And it doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen by osmosis. No, it takes, the Bible says, and you shall teach them to your children when you're lying down, when you're walking by the way, wherever you go, to be proactive about planting the right things in our children's heart. And so our text said today that there was a lad. Andrew said, there is a lad here who has some lunch. Now, how many people have done the shopping and you're ready for the lunches this week? Any parents ready for lunches this week? Oh, I know my wife is. Any parents going to raise a hand? Come on. Come on, mums and dads. If you've got lunch ready, raise your hand. Okay. Woolworths is going to be busy this afternoon. Some of you got another day. You're like, they don't start till Tuesday. Some start tomorrow. But this boy, this lad, had some lunch. Most likely, Brother Aaron, he didn't prepare it himself. His parents had prepared it. His mum most likely had packed his lunch. And when you're packing your children's lunch tomorrow, I want this next thought to be on your mind. I want this next thought to be on your mind as you pack their lunch. Don't just think about what you're putting in their lunchbox, but ask you, what am I packing into their life? What am I planting in the life of my children? And see, in our text, when the sun had set, this unnamed lad, he didn't have a name, it wasn't mentioned his name, just a lad. When the sun had set, this young boy, this young lad, who isn't even mentioned here, this young boy had a story to tell. Why? Because mommy had packed some good things in his lunchbox. And our children will have a good story to tell when we plant the right things in their life. And when he got home, I can just imagine, I can envisage it in my mind, as he burst through the door into the lounge room, his mum's sitting there, and she said, "Mom, guess what?" And mum says, "Well, what's happened, son? What's been happening today? Where have you been? What have you been doing?" "Oh, mum, I wish you could have been there. It was amazing, mummy." "Oh, where did you go, son? Where did you go?" "Mother, have you ever heard of a guy named Jesus?" "Oh, sure, son. Everybody knows about him. Everybody knows about Jesus." "Well, mommy, I saw him. I saw him do a miracle. I saw him feed 5,000 men plus women and children. I saw the most amazing miracle." "All I can say, mommy, is wow." "That's great, son. Well, but mum, that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. I wish you could have been there. Because, you know, mummy, the most exciting part of this whole thing is, mum, he did it with my lunch. He did it with the lunch that you packed for me. You took the time this morning to put some things in my lunchbox. And you know what, mummy? He used it. And there was a miracle." Let me tell you, let's make sure we're not just packing healthy lunchboxes, but let's make sure we're planting spiritual things of the Word of God in our children's lives. And one day they're going to come and say, "Mommy, guess what? I was praying for someone in the shop. And you know what, Mommy? You know the greatest thing, Mommy? You taught me how to pray. You taught me the Word of God." One day they're going to say, "Mommy, I want to become a preacher. And the greatest thing, Mommy, is that you put that desire in my heart. I'm going to go to Bible school, Mommy. Because you packed that into my life." I ask you today, what are you planting in the lives of your children? Don't let the devil say to you, "Oh, they're just kids. They're crazy. They're silly. They're chaotic." No, they are learning now. We must never underestimate the far-reaching effects of what is packed in a lad's lunchbox. And so what are we equipping our children for? I want to turn And I want everybody here to turn your homes into a training camp. Someday, you know what, brothers and sisters? It may prove to be the raw material for a miracle. I believe some of us, if the Lord tarries, in our homes are pastors, missionaries, prophets, evangelists, musicians, great men and women for God. Let me tell you, your home is not just a place where you sleep and eat, but this is a training camp for the next generation, church. Our homes, our churches, our Sunday school classes, our youth groups, they all should be training camps for Christian champions. Spiritual giants, Christian champions, because someday, I tell you, brothers and sisters, someday God is going to need a man, and someday God is going to need a woman, and when he does, I want my children to be waiting in the wings and say, you know what? I got a lunchbox my mommy packed for me. I got a life that my daddy planted some things in my life. God, I am available. I hope you're getting it today, the importance of our children. There is nothing wrong with secular success. It's all right. There's nothing wrong with monetary gain. There's nothing wrong with physical positions. But we need to go back to teaching our kids that the greatest position of all is to be called a man of God or a woman of God. Clap your hands to the Lord. Before I leave this world, I may not be a champion, but I want to make sure I raise one. And I want to make sure that I raise a champion. The unseen battle. Everyone say the unseen battle. We've got to prepare our children. Parental guidance is recommended for the unseen battle. There is an unseen battle going on in this world today. Maybe not even so unseen now. It's become obvious to us that we live in a world which is against the ways of God. Bibles have been thrown out of schools. Prayer has been thrown out of schools. Christian groups have been thrown out of schools. And I thank our brother Gian. Brother Gian is in a college over in Gungahlin, and he leads the Christian church there at the school. I praise God for that. Our generation needs young people to stand up. The unseen battle. Ephesians 6 verse 13, and I hasten, I'm going to finish soon. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Everyone say stand. And having done all, to stand. How are our children going to stand? Now, when I drive my boys to school, and I'm blessed that most days I can drop them at school, and then I come to the office here at church. When I drive them, we always pray. We pray. Each one will pray one by one as we're driving to the school. But my wife does something different. She talks to them about putting on the armor of God, doesn't she, boys? For the unseen battle. See, it's not nice to drop your kids at the gate with all those other kids in there and the ways of the world and the philosophies of the world and just to drop our kids there. It's like letting them loose in the den of lions. But you know what? They can go in there with the armor of God. It says, stand. Everyone say, stand. Having your loins girt about with truth. Everyone say, truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Here it is. Write it down. The armor of God is the recipe for victory. If you want to stand and not fall, put on the armor of God. If you want your children to stand and not fall, they've got to be wearing the armor of God. Now, young children listening to me, eyes on me, because now I'm the teacher. You've got to make sure that you've got the armor of God on. It's invisible armor. Everyone say invisible. You put it on over the top of your school uniform. Now, it's not always invisible, because sometimes when you use it, it becomes visible. When somebody says to you that you're a monkey who who swung out of a tree and you evolved into a human being, oh, they're going to see the belt of truth. What was invisible has now become visible. It's the invisible armor, children, that you put on over your school uniform. It doesn't have the Nike tick. No. It doesn't have a brand name of Reebok or Puma or Under Armour. No, it's not Under Armour. It's Over Armour. Doesn't have any fancy brand name on it. But let me tell you, it's more important and more critical than any other piece of clothing that you can put on as a child. I know it will make you stand out, but that's what being a Christian is all about. Everyone say the armor of God. And so I got a helper today. Chimdy's going to come and help me. Which one of you boys sorted out Chimdy? Yeah, he was the one that wanted to be. So we've got a few things. I might ask Sister Melanie to come and help me because we've got to make sure that he's dressed for school tomorrow. Are you right, Chimdy? All right. So. All right. This is Chikozzi. All right, sorry. This is Chikozzi. I want you to stand right at the front. Have you got the belt there, babe? You already got a belt on? No? There it is. Here's the belt of truth. Everyone say the belt of truth. The first thing that the soldier put on, it was central to all of the armor. It held all the other pieces together. See, the other pieces of armor, they connect into this, okay? And it's the central piece. And it is, the Bible tells us that it is the belt of truth. Let me tell you, God's word is truth. Hold that. There you go. This is the truth. Now, the devil's going to come at us with lies, but when you've got the belt of truth and you read it and you know the truth, you're able to fight the devil. You're able to fight against his lies because you've got the truth. Now, Chimdy, the Chikozzi, sorry. The belt of truth is going to tell you what to do, yeah? It's going to tell you where to go. It's going to tell you what is right and what is wrong. It's going to give you your direction, all right? And when the teacher says that we're, us humans are just monkeys, okay, we say no. The Bible says that God created me. I was created in the image of God. I've got my belt of truth on. It was invisible until you said that. Okay, the next thing that we need to put on is the breastplate of righteousness. You're doing a good job there, Chikozzi. The breastplate of righteousness. Now, this breastplate covered the most vital organs, okay? It covered the heart and it covered the lungs. Is anybody here today alive without a heart and a lung? No, everybody's got a heart and a lung? Good. That's a good start anyway. Now, it says the breastplate of righteousness. It covers your heart and your lungs. Now, Chikozzi, the heart is going to make sure the blood is pumping through your whole body. It's going to go and get oxygen, it's going to get nutrients, and it's going to take it to places so you can have energy, all right? And your lungs is what's going to keep your body breathing. Now, the Bible says to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are all the issues of life. So, life flows out of your heart. Now, if the devil can stab you in the heart, he can mess up your life. And so, the heart, righteous, the breastplate of righteousness, living a righteous life. Okay, the Bible says all our righteousness is as filthy rags. You don't live a righteous life to get saved. You can't be saved just because you did good things. But living a righteous life, listen carefully, is what protects your salvation. God gave you a new heart. And when you live righteously, it protects your salvation. Keep your heart with all diligence. And the enemy seeks to attack our heart because out of our heart come all the issues of life. But we are going to live a righteous life. We want to live the life that the Bible tells us to live. We want to do what the Bible tells us to do. We don't want to do what the Bible tells us not to do. And so when we live a righteous life, it protects our heart. You don't do the right thing so you can get saved. When you get saved, you do the right thing because it protects your salvation. Amen? All right. If you're going to live unrighteous, it's like rolling out the red carpet to the devil. Saying, when you start living unrighteously and you start living immorally and against the word of God, you're welcoming the devil to come in your life. You're welcoming him to attack your heart, which out of it come the issues of life. Okay, let's go to the next thing. Shoes of peace. You got those Reeboks there? No. They are spiritual armor. Shoes of peace. Now, the shoes of peace were not just like any ordinary shoes. They were shoes with studs. Everyone say studs. Because the soldier couldn't just wear any old shoe because they'd be slipping in the mud. They wouldn't be able to move forward. They wouldn't be able to climb up those little hills. They would be stuck in the mud. And so the shoes had studs on the bottom, and they are called the shoes of peace. Everyone say peace. Now, here it is. Where there is no peace, there can be no victory. We need the shoes of peace. And God, Chikozie, wants us to live a life of victory, and we can only live in victory when we have the shoes of peace. The sandals of the gospel of peace. John 14, verse 27, Jesus said to his disciples, and he says to you and I, peace I leave with you, not peace, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I, but not as the world gives do I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be fearful. God says, bring your troubles to me. Bring your cares. Cast them on me. You can have the shoes of peace. I'm saved. Jesus died for me. I've got peace because Jesus gives me peace. Amen? Without peace, there can be no victory. Without the shoes of peace, you're slipping and sliding. You can't be stable. The next thing, this one's a good one. It's got a big cross on the front. The shield of faith. Okay, the shield of faith. Can you hold that there, soldier? Faith means taking God at his word, all right, Chikozie? That means if God says it, I believe it. I've got faith. So if God says he can heal, I believe it. That's my faith. All right, good. Okay, faith is taking God at his word. And so the shield of faith protects us when doubt comes. And many doubts will come against our children. They'll begin to doubt, but if they have the shield of faith, they'll be able to fight those doubts off. Okay? They'll be able to fight them off. All right, so what are some of the things that the devil may try to throw at us, all right? First of all, okay, one of the lies that the devil may try to throw. Can you fight this off with your shield? Are you ready? Here's the first one. The devil will come and say, God's not listening to you. Are you ready? Don't let it hit you. You'll ruin my illustration. All right, are you ready? Go. Oh, good one. Yes. The devil will come and say, God is not listening to you, Chikozie. You are alone. But we get the shield of faith and we say, okay, but as many has received him, to he gave the right to become the children of God, and to those that believe in his name. I am a child of God. Of course God cares about me. All right, what's the next one that the devil may come? He may come and say, Chikozie, all right, God doesn't care about you. God doesn't care. All right, can you fight this one off? I'm going to try and throw a bit harder. Ready? Go. Oh, yes. Okay, so the devil comes and says, God doesn't care about you, Chikozie. And you say, you know what? I am more valuable than the sparrows. I was shaped in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He said, lo, I am with you always. Bang. All right. Now, here's the next one. Chikozie, you can't do it in this world. You've got no value. You're just a child. You're just a child. That's one of the lies the devil will come and say to you, all right? All right, ready to fight it off? Go. Bang. No, devil. The Bible says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. I am light shining in the darkness. Bam. The shield of faith. Can you see how the shield of faith works, children? Can you see? Should I still keep throwing some things at him as well? All right. I never get to throw stuff at people. I know the old school teachers used to throw dusters and chalk at kids. Pastor throws paper, all right? All right, so what's the next lie? I'm forgetful. What's the next lie? Okay, all right, here's the next one. Chikozie, the situation you face is impossible. Are you ready? That's what the devil's going to say. What are you going to do? Bang! All right? And we're going to reply because we've got the shield of faith. It says in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. And with God, nothing is impossible. Bam! The shield of faith. All right, that's good. All right. Now the helmet of salvation. All right? We're living in the last days, okay? This is no time to go losing your head. All right? The helmet of salvation protects the head. Okay? Chikozie, this is your head, correct? Now, what's in there? What's inside there? A brain? A brain! I got one of them too. Mine's probably a lot smaller. All right? Okay, so the helmet protects our head. It protects our brain. It's the mind is the control center of our body. And the devil will come and attack us with imaginations, with thoughts. The Bible says the devil will come against us and attack us about what we know about God. And the Bible says when those thoughts come that we are to cast down the arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And that this world is going to come up with thoughts at our children, all right? But you've got the helmet of salvation. Don't let the devil get in your thoughts. The next one, all of the boys like this one, the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Whose sword is it? The Spirit's sword. It says, the sword of the Spirit, which is, it tells us, the Word of God. Everyone say the Word of God. And so, when it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, there is the word Word, okay? Now, that word Word or the Word of God can have three different meanings. Graphe, everyone say graphe. So the graphe are the pages, the words on the pages of this Bible, okay? Then the next Greek word for word is logos, which is the message of the book. So not just the words on the page, but the message that the words are telling us. But this says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is a different type of word. It's the Greek word rhema. Everyone say rhema. Now, Chikozie, the words on this page, just the words there, the letters have no power against the devil. All right? The stories of the Bible have no power against the devil. The sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. And this is why you've got to read your Bible regularly. This is why people that know everything about the Bible, and this is why people that have been to Bible school and are theologians, this is why they can suffer attacks from the devil. It's because they don't have the rhema, which is a timely word. When you read the Bible in your daily devotion, sometimes God's going to speak to you a specific rhema word. And that word is going to be for a battle that you're going to be in that day. Mommy and daddy may say, cast all your cares upon the Lord. They might read that on the way to school, and you're going to have a bit of worry in your mind at school, and you're going to go, oh, hang on, I got a rhema. There was a timely word in the devotion this morning. I can cast all my cares upon the Lord. We've got to dress our kids for success. Amen. Dress for success. The armor of God. And see, this sword of the Spirit, it is the Spirit's sword. It is the rhema of God. Let me tell you, when you save an adult life, you save half a life. But when our children raise up, we save a whole life. A whole life dedicated and committed to the kingdom of God. Hasn't Chikozie done a good job? Amen. And so, tomorrow, when you're putting their uniform on, tell them about the armor of God. And so, I'm not going to embarrass you anymore. You can go sit down and you can keep all of that, all right? Just don't go bashing your brother up with it, all right? Woo! Put your hands together. Good boy. So, we come to the time when we're going to pray for our kids, and I've got a special gift. My wife and I have put together a special gift for all of our children. We have the back to school prayer. Back to school. Can you shine on that or something? Not shine, put the video on it. Shows how smart I am. Back to school. Here's the back to school prayer. Every child's going to have it on a little clipboard, and you can hang it up too. Look, little hook, hang it on your wall. Be still and know I am God. A, all things work together for good. C, cast all my anxiety on him. K, know whose I am. T, trust in the Lord with all my heart. O, open my eyes to see the truth. School, S, show me your ways, Lord. C, create in me a clean heart. H, he who is in me is greater. O, obey the Lord my God. O, again, O Lord, you are my strength and shield. L, let love and faithfulness never leave me. There's the back to school prayer. Amen. And after you've gone back to school, here's the dress code, the armor of God, all there. So each of our children will receive these today as they come up. But what I want to do now is, if everyone can stand, if the musicians could come, we're going to have a special time of prayer. And then all the children are going to get their little gift. And then we're going to have a baptism. I know we're going a little bit longer than usual, and I know it's hot in here. It's hot for me. I got a jacket on. And I'm not as fit as half of you. But now is a very important time as we pray for our children. So first of all, I'm going to ask all of the children that are starting school for the very first time. So these will be the children that are starting preschool or kinder, okay? Preschool, which means the year before kinder, and kinder. So most in Canberra, preschool and kinder are actually at separate places or separate buildings. So if you've got a child that's starting preschool this year, I want you to bring them, if they can come. Any preschoolers? Yes, here they come. Here, little Annabelle. Wasn't that long ago. Alpha, you've passed preschool, aren't you? Yeah. All right. Got one preschooler. Have we got any kids that are starting kindergarten? Kindergarten, okay. Yep, Daniel's starting preschool. Yes, wonderful. Okay, now, children, if your mum and dad are up here, you can come and stand with them now as well. Okay, it's very important. So, now, have we got any kinder children that are starting kinder? First year in primary school. Here they come. Here they come. Some kindergarten children. All right. We're going to take our time today. Okay, here come the kindergarten kids. Believe it or not, I can remember being in kinder. I don't remember much. I remember lunchtime at recess. I remember they had fish. Mexican walking fish. Look at this. Wonderful. Excellent. Now I'll get you guys to step forward if you can. Now we got some high school kids here that are starting high school as well. So I'm going to ask if you've got children that are in high school, if you can come as well now, starting high school. I know my son Lachlan will be moving now. I know his mate Dennis and Olivia, here they come, the high school kids. If your parents aren't here, you can come and stand with them as well. Amen. All right, it's scary when they go to high school. All right. All right, I want you guys to come forward, and then I want every other child to come forward with your parents. Parents, bring your children if they're in school. Back to school tomorrow. Yes, Sam, that's you. Benji, Victor, that's good. Come on, Chimdi and Chikozi. Come on, Alessia and Samantha. James and Samuel and Favor. Yes. Okay, we might need some people to come up here a little bit. Come up here, Ruth and family. Good. Come up right up here, right around here. We're going to have to make a lot of room. All right, Melanie and Lachlan, Lucas and Thomas, Brother Aaron, come up. Sister, why don't you bring your children just up here? Yeah, is that all right? We're going to make as much room as we can. Everyone's moving. We are a family church. We're a family church. There's literally hundreds of kids in this church. Praise God. Amen. I might ask my mum if she can make her way, because I want to be able to stand with my kids. Grew up hearing my mum pray all the time. We're about to hear her pray again as we go back to school. Okay, is everyone moving? Including college kids.
You probably need more prayer than anybody.
Push right up the front. Come a little bit closer if you can. Just right up to the front there. It's a very important time right now. Hey, Jacob, I think you're in school, mate. Don't worry, I know everyone's name around here. Keep coming. There's a little gap here. Push right on in. Come in, come in. That's it, that's it. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Dari, come stand with my family up here. Yeah. Oh, Brother Ollie's there. Good, good. Excellent. Praise God. Has everyone kind of found a place? All right. Any children missing out? This is a very, very important time. Because children, you're children of God. We are different from this world. This world will try to teach you many things, but the most important thing is the Word of God and living our life as a Christian. That is the most important thing. Children, you're not too good to carry a cross. There's going to be times when you're going to have to say no to things that everyone else is doing. Let me tell you, that's part of being a Christian. You're not too good to have to carry a cross. And parents, your children aren't too good to have to suffer for Jesus Christ. There'll be times when they may be embarrassed and, you know, they're having a Halloween or they're doing some witchcraft in the classroom. And your child's going to say, but Mom, I don't want to be the only one. They're not too good to miss out. They're not too good to suffer a little bit of shame for the name of Jesus. They're not too good to carry a cross. Amen. I'm going to ask my mum to pray. Parents, I want you to lay your hands on your children. Put your hands on them. There's a hand of blessing. There's a hand of correction. Well, right now, I'm going to put a hand of blessing on them and a hand of protection. Sister Downs, if you would lead us in prayer.
Father, this morning, we've all parents, grandparents, we have felt the challenge, Lord. And before you, oh God, this morning, there are so many children from so many diverse situations they come from. But, oh God, you have called them to this place today. And, Lord, you have challenged us as parents and grandparents to pack our children with the good things, Lord, that they need in life. And I pray, Lord, as they go forward from this place, as they go into the week, Lord Jesus, as they mix with the children at school, Lord, that they would be lights in this world. Oh God, we ask you to help us, Lord Jesus. Oh God, that you would put a burden in our life and in our heart, that we would pray, Lord Jesus, for our children, that we would fast for our children, oh God. We did not have children to give them to this world, but oh God, we take authority today. Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to raise those children, Lord, to teach them diligently, Lord. Oh God, I ask you to help us. If we have passed that time, Lord Jesus, and if where the world says we can't put it in them, we know, oh God, that you can do it. Lord, because we trust you this morning, Lord Jesus, and we ask you as parents, grandparents, that we will pray for our children every moment of every day, Lord Jesus. Thank you for giving them to us, Lord, but we want to present them to you. And, oh God, keep your hand upon them, we pray. Keep them from all danger, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. Come on, parents, I want you just to pray over your children right now. Just say some words over them. Let them hear what you're saying. Let them know what's in your heart. Jesus. Oh God, help them not get caught up with the things at school, Lord. The ways of the world, the values of the world. Help them not to be worried about being different. Oh, we don't need to be cool. We need to be godly and holy. Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Lord, I believe right now standing before me are champions, men and women of God. Hallelujah, men and women of God, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, raise them up to be mighty champions for you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Jesus, yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. I'm going to ask my wife and my boys if you can come down and we're going to help hand out these little things. Now we've got a whole variety of them, and I know when I give gifts out to the kids, they get picky, but try not to be too picky, all right? We've got clear green. Yeah, hold that one up. This looks like a girly color, this one. Purple, but boys might like it as well. I think I liked purple when I was young. All right, this one's the girly one. Pink. Clear pink. Oh, that's green as well. We got a blue one? No. There's a blue one. Good. That's all right. Got this one. Yeah, excellent. We got clear blue. There you go, Thomas. Hold it up high. And then for the hipsters, we got wood. All right, so just be patient. And what I ask everyone to do, because we've got a baptism as well, come and get a gift for your child, for all your children. We should have enough, about 120 here today. There's about 120, so everyone should get one. The older ones, if you're 18 and you got one and you see a little kid that doesn't have, be kind, give it to them, all right? And then we're going to have a baptism service. So I'm going to ask the musicians to lead us in worship just a little while, and then we'll be turning our attention to the screen. Families will be gathering down the back as well for the baptism service.